And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. First, let me say again, thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting American Family Radio. Thank you for supporting me personally and all the hosts here on American Family Radio, the network, the podcast. Thank you. I really do appreciate you all. I know you hear me say that pretty much every time I open up a program, and I don't say it as kind of a throwaway line or just sort of a rote thing that I say. I say it because I mean it with all my heart. And let me just give you an example of why it is important to me. You all know that I have a podcast called E.W. Jackson for America. It comes on every morning at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And you can catch it on my Facebook page, E.W. Jackson for America, my personal Facebook page, Bishop E.W. Jackson. You can catch it on StandAmerica.us website. You can catch it on Rumble. You can catch it on YouTube, BishopEWJackson.tv. I know there are a lot of places you can see it. And wherever podcasts are watched. And in fact, we re-air the Awakening podcast, which posts on American Family Radio on Wednesdays. We re-air it on our network, so to speak, on Saturday. So you can also catch it there. We don't want to preempt it from American Family Radio, but after we've put it on American Family Radio and you have a chance to hear it and watch it on AFR.net, we then post it on all of our venues as well. So this morning on my podcast, I talked about a couple of different issues. One of the issues I talked about, I'm sure you all have heard, is that Chuck Schumer has proposed, he's trying to cover himself because the left is just beating him about the head and shoulders, but he's trying to cover himself. So he's proposed that Congress recognize the so-called pride flag as a congressionally recognized and approved flag for flying at federal facilities, military facilities, on certain special days, and acceptable to fly it at all times. Of course, it would fly just beneath the American flag, of course. Not that there aren't those who would rather fly it above the American flag, clearly. So I commented on the nature of this flag, and I think that's why my program did not appear on Facebook today. I think when they heard what I launched into, and I said to them, I said, don't censor me. But it was pulled down. So we went, we had a staff meeting later after that program aired. I said this morning, it was actually Tuesday morning, at a staff meeting later, and we're talking about social media and about the program. So we went to find the program. The program was not there. It was nowhere to be found. Now, you all know what I had to say contained no profanity. It contained no threats. It contained not even a hint of violence. It was simply a biblical critique of what it would mean to make that some kind of official flag of our country. And that's what they're talking about doing. They're talking about putting it on par with the American flag and with the POW/MIA flag. I kid you not, folks. That's what Schumer's talking about. Now, you know, others are going to pick up on that and run with it because that's the way it works. He's throwing something out there, throwing red meat out there for the left, but the left loves those kinds of ideas because they want something to supersede the American flag anyway. They hate the American flag, but they certainly love that abomination of a thing they call the rainbow flag, the pride flag, whatever it is. So I pointed out, I said, well, that flag is trash. And it is, because it's blasphemous. It appropriates the rainbow, which God left as a sign of his covenant with Noah and promised to us all that the world would never again be destroyed by a massive flood or by water. And so that rainbow is a sign of God's promise to us. It is a holy thing. They've turned it into an unholy thing. So that flag is trash. And I simply said that. But in the process, I also pointed out that all the people who fly that flag and think that it's so great have reprobate minds. And I said that means their minds are degenerate, depraved, filthy, and, you know, just and demonic. Now, of course, I know they didn't like hearing that, but I'm going to point out once again for all of those, you all know this, but for so many others who don't, who will ultimately see this podcast and hear it, because American Family Radio is only too happy to put it out there because it is the truth. Let me point out what Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, well, you know the whole chapter, right? But I was talking about the verse. Oh, here we go. Here we go. I've got it. Verse 28. It says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, or the old King James says, reprobate mind. I'm using the new King James word as debased mind, to a reprobate or debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, or in the old King James, not convenient. It says, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, here's what I would say. Don't be mad at me. I know you all aren't mad at me, but, you know, Facebook, YouTube, all these big tech. Go to the one you really have the disagreement with. I am merely agreeing with Almighty God. I said they ought to call that rainbow flag the Sodom and Gomorrah flag, because that's what it is. It's the flag of demonism. It's the flag of cursing. It's the flag of destruction. It's the flag of moral and sexual depravity. So, but that's not what Bishop Jackson said. I just read it to you, what God said about the people given over to a reprobate mind. Here is a long list of horrible qualities that come with that. Again, and by the way, I am completely owning it, because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I am not ashamed of agreeing with God. But I'm simply pointing out, I am not the originator. I am not the author. I am not the creator. I am merely agreeing with the creator. So what they need to do is censor him. Go argue with him. Go tell him he's wrong. Go tell him that they will be God, thank you very much, and they will render their own judgment, and even tell him that they will render judgment on him. See how far they get with that. See, I know they come after people like me because Jesus said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So they're interested in destroying all of us who won't agree with their debased minds. They can't destroy God. They can't destroy the one we serve. And therefore, ultimately, they can't destroy us either. Look, folks, let me boil it down to three things that a reprobate mind represents. Because it says God gave them over to it. In other words, that was what they wanted. That was what they were inclined to do. And God finally stopped fighting it. God finally stopped trying to rescue them. He just let them go. Just let them say, okay, you are absolutely hell-bent on demonism and degeneracy and depravity and filth. Okay, you go ahead and go. You go for it. See where it gets you. There are three things that does. You can encapsulate all this in. When you disconnect from God, you disconnect from reality because God is ultimate reality. God is ultimate reality. And whenever people disconnect from God, that's why they become fools. Because they completely lose touch with Him who is and who establishes reality. And when you disconnect from God, you disconnect from reality means what? You connect to what? You connect to fantasy. You connect to insanity. You connect to the unreal. You connect to the horrors and the creations of one's own depraved mind. That's how you get people saying some of the things you hear these people saying. You say, well, wait, that doesn't even make sense. Like, I don't know what a woman is. I'm not a biologist. I mean, because they have disconnected from reality. And that's what happens when you reject God. Because your mind was made to be connected to reality, meaning that it was made to be connected to Him. When you disconnect from Him, you disconnect from that which anchors you in the real. The second thing is you disconnect from reason because God is ultimate logic. The word logic comes from the Greek word logos. What does logos mean? Word. What is the word? The word is logical. It is logical. And when I say that, that's not necessarily logical based upon human logic. See, because based upon human logic, you don't need a redeemer. You can do that for yourself. Thank you very much. I'll be righteous. I can handle it. See, that's human logic. But the divine logic says, there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. God's justice demands the wages of sin is death. God's logic is, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You have absolutely no way out of your sin. Therefore, I, God says, I will make a way for you out of no way. That's divine logic. Human logic is, I can handle that myself. Thanks very much. I can pat myself on the back. How good I am, how great I am, how righteous I am, how holy I am. I've got it. Yeah. And you are doing nothing but prepping yourself to bust hell wide open as you enter and hear the gate slam behind you, never to open again. See, God is true reason. That's why the Bible says, He says in the book of Isaiah, come, let us reason together. And what's the reason? Though your sins be as scarlet, I will wash you white as snow. Human being logic is, I can clean myself up. Thanks. Thanks, God, but no thanks. I can clean myself up. And then third, when you disconnect from God, you disconnect not only from a reality, not only from reason, but you disconnect from righteousness. Book of Isaiah says, all of our righteousness is filthy rags. You disconnect from the righteousness of God. You know, I've said many, many times, all human beings are designed by God to be created by God to be moral creatures. We can't help it. We are moral creatures because we were made in His image and in His likeness. And God is what? Perfect morality. He is always right. He is never wrong. He is absolute and total righteousness, holiness, rightness in every way. We are made in His image and His likeness. That's what we were made for. But from the fall, we disconnected from that. But the vestiges of that original design are still in every human being. Here's what human beings do when they disconnect from God. They create their own righteousness. They create their own morality because they still want to see themselves as moral, even if that morality is so twisted and perverse and weird and messed up that you don't even recognize it as morality, but in their minds they do. I mean, even criminals will say of somebody who won't snitch or somebody who will follow through on a crime or somebody who will even kill a person, they'll say, he's a stand-up guy. Now, for you and I, that means he's demonic from our perspective, but they mean, oh, no, he's moral based upon our criminal code. Right? The mafia has omerta. You know that old saying, there is honor among thieves? Well, there is, but not that they will perfectly follow their own morality either, but there's a code. Because it's what human beings need. The problem is, when they disconnect from God's righteousness, they create a code that was created by Satan. And they're following it to their own destruction. And that's what this so-called pride stuff is. Pride. Pride in what? Pride in sin? So I said all that to say, I really love and appreciate you all because you all are upholding a standard of righteousness that the world is rejecting. And in doing so, they're rejecting you, they're rejecting me, they're rejecting anybody who tries to uphold that standard. Yes, that includes President Donald Trump, in my view. No, he's not perfect any more than you and I are perfect. But I really believe that in terms of his policies, the president is upholding a standard of righteousness and the devil can't stand it. He cannot abide it. And so they'd like to, as we know, they've tried to destroy President Trump in whatever way they can. They'd also love to destroy you and me. But there is one little problem with that. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So thank you all for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Continue to pray for me. We'll ultimately get to the bottom of it. But they just didn't air my program. And I think it's because of the things that I just said to you. But I just gave you biblical authority for these things. Look, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. For all those people say, well, God is not concerned. I think it's verse 9. Yeah, God is not concerned about your personal morality. God is concerned about justice. Yeah, you hear that nonsense from these theological liberals. Here's what 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 says. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? In other words, those who God gave up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting, all those things I just listed, which include homosexuality and all of that, it says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. It says, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, there's people who are practicing these lifestyles now. People who are living this way. It says, and such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I mean, God's really clear about it. He says, if this is the way you choose to live, if you take pride in all this, and that's what they do, they take pride in all of it, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You are going to hell. That's not Bishop Jackson saying that. That's not Bishop Jackson's opinion about any particular person. That is simply what the Bible teaches. I just read it to you. Well, I don't know whether you all know anything about Facebook. You know, they are somewhat impenetrable. You know, so they don't give you reasons. They just do things to you. That's like I heard Mark Zuckerberg say, well, we figured out rather than telling people why we're censoring them, we just limit the number of people who can see what they post so they don't even know what we're doing. Yeah, he admitted that in a congressional hearing one time. So that way we don't have to deal with the confrontation because they don't even know. But actually, most of us do know. We can tell. We can tell that the audience is not growing. We can tell that nothing is going viral. We can tell when things, you know, they're putting the clamp on you. There's no question about it. But praise God for American Family Radio. And I mean that. Praise God. Because here we speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God. And we speak it in love. We don't hate these people. They hate us. No question about that. But we do not hate them. We love them. We're praying for them. As a matter of fact, I remind you, Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 18 and 19 say, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning. God says, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. God expects us to tell people. That's real love, because you're trying to save people from the consequences of their rebellion against God and get them to stop and turn and submit to him. And why would they submit to God if they believe everything they're doing is okay? Going to these little popcorn churches with their little 2 cent gospel that doesn't mean a thing, because it's I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, it'll be okay, and calling God she and all this nonsense, and they're gonna go right to hell, they're gonna lead a bunch of people to hell who follow them, thinking that I'm in church. No, you're not. You're in something, but it's not church. Because the true church is the people of the Lord. And those aren't the people of the Lord. Because Jesus said, those who love me keep my commandments. And he said, not one dot, not one tittle, not one I will go undotted, not one T will go uncrossed of God's word. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Now you're teaching people to disregard the word and do your thing because you think you know best. Boy, you just might as well put the gates of hell on double hinges and swing them wide open and say, come on in. Because that's exactly what you're doing. Okay, all right. Look, I just wanted to get that out there by way of letting you know something I talked about that apparently big tech really didn't like, but maybe some parent, some brother, some sister will hear this and say, listen, I want you to listen to this. And maybe some homosexual, some so-called transgender, because you can't really be a transgender because you can't transition from one gender to another, will hear it and say, you know what? Boy, that really convicted me. And it may not happen right away. They may stew on it. Who knows, a day, a week, a month, a year, 2 years, 5 years, but that word may get down into their spirits and just gnaw away at them until they finally say, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And you know what? If that's what happens, it's worth it. Because I say, I'd rather you hate my guts on earth and hug my neck in heaven than to placate you on earth and have you say, yeah, I kind of like E.W. Jackson. He's a nice guy. And then go to hell. And maybe find me standing at the pearly gates or within the pearly gates or beside the throne of the great white throne and say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you say anything to me? If only you had warned me, maybe I would have gotten right with God. So we're showing true love to call this stuff out, whether they like it or not. Now, so there was that thing. I want to remind you of why what we're doing is so important, because this is what they have in mind for our country. Folks, they want America to be a nation of moral relativity. They want America to be a nation of moral depravity and sexual libertinism. They want America to be a nation of complete governmental control and power. You know, if Virginia, sadly, just elected a liberal governor, and now we have liberal legislatures in both House and Senate, and they've already agreed that they're going to pass 50 new taxes. 50 new taxes. We have a surplus of, I think, $2.6 billion, but that's not enough for them. Surplus, but they want to spend some more money. And they're going to raise, I think, somewhere in the vicinity of about $6 billion in new taxes. Now, why? Because more taxes mean bigger government. And bigger government means more rules, more regulations, more staff, more control over people, because that's what they hunger for. That's what they long for. I say, you know, these people want to accuse President Trump of being a would-be dictator. I say, dictators don't reduce the size of government. They increase it. They don't lower spending. They increase it. Because they know the more they spend, the more people they buy. And they know that therein lies the major source of their loyalty, buying people. And who is it that buys people in our culture? It is the Democrats. They believe in it with every fiber of their being. They'll buy illegal immigrants. They'll buy black people. They'll buy women. They'll buy Muslims. They'll buy refugees. They'll buy them all. Just ask the Somali community in Minneapolis. They apparently bought them to the tune of about $9 billion in fraud. Turned a blind eye toward it. Because after all, these are our slaves and we got to keep them paid. We got to keep them rewarded for doing our bidding. We need them to protest. We need them to riot. We need them to vote. We got to keep them fed and clothed. And sometimes it takes more than a subsistence existence. We got to make sure that they can buy Mercedes Benzes and Ferraris and Bentleys and live in mansions, or so at least so their leaders can, so that they can go out and tell the people, see, if you just be a good boy for the party, look at what can happen for you. Well, you can steal all you want, and they'll protect you. I know, folks, it's raw and it's ugly, but it's real, isn't it? Well, one of the things, and by the way, I can't let the program get by without mentioning, of course, a couple days ago, when you hear this, depending on when you hear it, but sometime recently, Jesse Jackson passed away. And I'm going to leave that at that. You know, our condolences to his family. I'm not a fan of Jesse Jackson by any stretch of the imagination. Never have been. But I will leave it at that for now. except to say this, as to the fate of Jesse Jackson, only he and God know. Only he and God know. And I would caution people. I've noticed some of the news outlets, even Fox, want to lionize him and turn him into this, you know, sort of saint of the civil rights movement. Well, okay, let me stop there because I don't ever want to dance on anybody's grave because I'm certainly not glad that Jesse Jackson's passed away or anything like that. His family is obviously hurting. And I'm sure there are people around him who loved him and are going to miss him. And I want to respect that. But I'm not joining in with this. Well, suddenly now that he's dead, suddenly he's, you know, let's canonize him. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And it's a simple reason, because I'm not going to lie like that. I'm simply not going to lie like that, because that would be lying. But I do want to respect his family, and because there's nothing you can do to hurt him, and not that I'd be interested anyway, but I do want to respect his family and the people who knew him and loved him, because obviously those people miss him, and I want to respect that. And I'll comment on that in later programs. I'll comment, do some commentary on him as we get a little further down the road, because I think it does deserve some commentary, and once again, it does deserve some biblical wisdom to be applied to that circumstance and to his life, as opposed to the sanitized version I'm hearing of somehow, you know, the Jesse Jackson who deserves to be beatified. Okay, leave it at that. But our condolences to his family. Rosie O'Donnell's back. Oh, Lord, help us, please, Jesus. Yeah, Rosie O'Donnell's back. Now, the thing is, I don't know how long she's planning to stay, but she is here. And, you know, she said she had to come back quietly because she had to see whether it was safe to come back to America. Oh, my goodness gracious. Lord, have mercy. Look. America safer today than it's been, according to the data, is safer today than it's been since 1900. And she's got to come back and see whether it's safe. Are you kidding me? Well, at any rate. But look, I knew she'd be back. And you know what she's just trying to do? She's just trying to smooth it over so she can look like she's made some kind of sacrifice to have gone away for a while. You can't live better anywhere else in the world than you can live in America. She says she was glad to be in Ireland because they don't have celebrity worship there. Oh, please. Who's been a bigger beneficiary of celebrity worship than Rosie O'Donnell? Oh, give me a break with the false demonstrations of such humility. Oh, the way she's lied on President Trump repeatedly and said things that were just absolutely untrue. But at any rate, she's back. But I knew it. Listen, these people who complain about our country all the time, they're not going anywhere. Even the ones who say, I bought a house in Italy. Okay, right. Go ahead over. We'll count the days. They'll be back. They'll be back. Because you can't live anywhere else better than you can live in the United States of America, and they know it. That this country that they think is so terrible has built the highest standard of living for the most people of any nation in the history of the world. So I know that doesn't fit very well into their little anti-American polemic, but it's still the truth. Now let's talk, one other thing that I want to talk about, one more subject that is probably going to use to close out, maybe a couple of things. Did you all hear about this young guy who won $3.2 million from a jury? A jury, by the way, not that it should matter, but a jury, by the way, that happened to be very ethnically diverse. But they made this... a black woman and her lawyer and probably some other players as well who were involved in this process, pay this young fella of European ancestry, this young American, $3.2 million for false accusations against him. He pulled a terrible stunt on this kid at a sleepover, okay? The kid he pulled it on happened to be black. Well, they started publicly accusing him of racism, and off it went to raise $100,000 for this kid who they claim had been a victim of racism. And this kid, the poor kid who did something really dumb, but nevertheless, protesters, death threats. I mean, his life essentially has been ruined. Well, a jury looked at all the facts and determined that this kid had been wronged, even though he did something stupid at his party that affected this black kid. They determined that he was wrong and awarded him $3.2 million. Now, let me tell you what the reason why I want to bring this up. As you all know, STAND is committed to bringing Americans together across racial and cultural lines to uphold our Judeo-Christian principles, heritage, and values as one nation under God. Here's something. You all are mature enough to receive this. A lot of people can't get this because they are so obsessed with racial identity and so imbued with it that they're blind to what I'm about to say to you. People have disagreements and do bad things to each other who happen to be of different racial or ethnic backgrounds, and it has nothing to do with their racial or ethnic background. It is just human beings doing what human beings do. Sometimes we mistreat each other. Sometimes we insult each other. Sometimes we offend each other. Sometimes we argue with each other. It's just part of being human. And the fact that the argument happens to be, or the disagreement, or the wrong, happens to be between one person of lighter complexion and another person of darker complexion, doesn't mean it's racial. But you see, boy, that is the last refuge of the scoundrel, because if you can make it racial, you can turn everybody's logic off. You can turn everybody's perception off of reality, and you can just turn them into manipulated fools who will go along because you introduce the issue of race. Oh, it's racist. Oh, really? Okay, well, what do we do about that? Instead of asking, well, wait a minute, why is it racist? Well, because the kid who did this was black, and the kid who was victimized was white, and the kid who did this was white, and the kid who was victimized was black. That's right, because actually, if somebody does something who's black, somebody who's white is not racist. See, it's never racist then. But somebody who's white does something to somebody who happens to be black. Oh, it's always racist. Okay, it's always racist. But, you know, part of the problem that I have with that, Now listen to me very closely, because I'm going to make a subtle point, but it's a good one. It's a very good one. I really believe God gave this to me as something I'd never considered. When we do that, it dehumanizes the person who is pegged as, designated as, the perpetual victim because of the color of his or her skin. Now, here's what I mean by that. I mean that their humanity is not recognized, only their skin color is. Because when your humanity is recognized, you realize, I told you all, I think, about the just before I got saved. So folks, please don't hold this against me. But like I said, I come from a family where we were kind of a family of fighters. And but praise God, I'm fighting for the Lord now. I wouldn't consider hurting anybody for any reason other than defending myself and my family. That's different. But as far as hurting people and, you know, getting angry with people and wanting to hurt somebody because they said something I didn't like, or I don't care what, I just don't even think that way anymore. But I wasn't saved yet. And I stopped at this gas station, and this guy thought he claimed I asked for $4 worth of gas. I asked for $2 worth of gas. That's the way I remember it. I didn't lie to him then, and I'm still not lying in terms of my memory then. Now, but at any rate, as I was pulling off, because I just got mad at him and said, "Well, I told you $2, and that's it." And as I was pulling off, he slapped the back of my car. And when he slapped the back of my car, I stopped and got up. And it was on. Now, he happened to be white. I happened to be black. But I'm telling you, it had nothing to do with race. It was just me being a young hothead and him being a person who didn't have the sense to downplay a disagreement and kind of either let it go or approach it some other way, take down my license plate and maybe call the police or whatever he wanted to do. But instead, he slapped the back of my car, provoked me. I, instead of saying, you know what, he hit the back of my car, I'm not going to stop and have a confrontation with somebody over that something that dumb and keep going. So either one of us could have de-escalated, but we didn't. And it had nothing to do with our skin color. It just had to do with two human beings being stupid. And I was one of those stupid human beings. But I didn't think, well, he's a white guy. That never crossed my mind. And I really don't believe that he thought, well, he's a black guy, because it never came up. What came up was the disagreement over $2. Now, that just goes to show how stupid people can be. How stupid the two of us were over $2. They had nothing to do with race, but you know what? If one of us had gotten hurt, particularly if it had been me, in Cambridge, Massachusetts, woo, I'd have had the NAACP, they'd have been marching down the street with me, you know. But it had nothing to do with race. But you see, that's what I would have been reduced to if that scenario had unfolded differently, because nobody would have seen this young guy, Harvard Law School student, being stupid over $2. No, they wouldn't have seen that. They'd have, oh, this poor victim, this poor black guy. Oh, this white guy took advantage of him. Oh, this is terrible. See, America's so racist. That would have been the scenario. In other words, nobody would have seen my humanity. They would have only seen the color of my skin. That's what this does. But you know, ultimately, we've got to stop viewing each other that way and just view each other as human beings. Loving each other, sometimes misunderstanding each other, sometimes not liking each other. But I like to think, at least within the Christian community, just loving each other because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And by this, all people know that we are His disciples by our love for one another. I've never read a verse that said, now you black Christians, you can love other black Christians, but now those white Christians, now they're different. Now that's a different story. But you know, there are people who actually think like that, even though they never say it that explicitly. They actually think that way. So we've got to stop that. And yet there are people in our culture, forces in our culture in the left, they want to perpetuate that. They don't want to stop it. They want to perpetuate it. I thank God this young man won this award. Because what it says, and again, I'm not going to go into exactly what he did, but he did something stupid at a sleepover party. And they were kids at the time, by the way. They were in middle school. He's 19 now. And it's been 5 years of fighting this thing. And he's finally won a judgment. But they were kids then. And kids do stupid things. When I read that, I thought to myself, I did some pretty stupid things when I was a kid. And man, I think to myself, and it had nothing to do with it. It had nothing to do with race. It was just being stupid, being immature. And same thing was true here. But oh no, they blew it up into a racial issue, and they had this kid wearing a Ku Klux Klan hood. Not literally, but you know what I mean. I mean, he's just the worst person ever walked the face of a kid. Lord help us. Okay, here's the last thing I want to deal with. You know, I say people who reject God disconnect from reality. And one reality that a lot of people do not want to face is that this whole gender confusion stuff is creating a lot of violence. Now, there are leftists who are saying, well, wait a minute. And by the way, there's a growing list. The person who just shot those people in Rhode Island, again, a transgender, so-called. And I always get confused about that. I guess if it's transgender woman, that's supposed to mean it's a man. But that doesn't make sense to me because it can't possibly be a woman of any kind. So it's really just a guy who's confused and thinks or wants to be a woman. But at any rate, and this guy killed his family members he just went crazy. And apparently we're beginning to see a pattern here of these so-called transgender people. Again, you can't really transition, but for lack of a better term, and just to move the conversation along, in less than a week, 8 people murdered in 2 separate public shootings, a Canadian public school, and now in Rhode Island, both of them being committed by guys who think on some level that they're supposed to be women. This guy named Robert Dorgan, who called himself now Roberta Esposito. So is he in addition to being transgender, is he also trans ethnic or trans Hispanic or something? But at any rate, Monday night, ice rink, he killed his ex-wife. He killed one of his children. Killed his own kid and then himself. And of course, this leftist governor, Dan McKee, said, this is terrible. This is domestic violence. This is gun violence. Never even mentioning the fact that the guy was psychologically and mentally and sexually confused. Again, what did I say? Denying reality. Now, this is part of a pattern. February 10th, Jesse Van Rensselaer, 18-year-old Canadian, who is identified as a girl, killed his mother and his stepbrother before he went to Tumbler Ridge Secondary School, where he shot and killed 5 students and 1 teacher. The biggest, the most deadly shooting in British Columbia history. And then, of course, he killed himself. I mean, August 27, 2025, 23-year-old Robin Westman opened fire at Annunciation Catholic Church, killing 2 children. I mean, the assassin of Charlie Kirk was, I don't know whether he would call himself that, but he was certainly the boyfriend or something of some guy who thinks he's a woman. I don't know. But again, you got that whole transgender thing involved. And then, and by the way, the leftists, they say only between 2012 and 2025, only 5 shootings were confirmed to be transgender. Well, that's a lie. It's more than that. But they want to compare that to all the mass shootings. But no. Don't compare it to all the mass shootings. You got to compare it to the number of so-called transgender people there are to see how such a very, 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 very small percentage of people is producing so many violent people who commit mass killings. May 2019, Devon Michael Erickson and Alec McKinney, who's claimed to be transgender, gave himself the name Maya Elizabeth McKinney. Well, they're not funny, but they carried out a mass shooting at the STEM school Highlands Ranch in Colorado. And they were targeting students based upon what they considered to be bullying for his gender or his transgender or whatever you call it. The Covenant School, 2023, this guy, this woman, Aubrey Hale, who now thought she was a guy, Aiden, changed her name to Aiden. 2022, Anderson Lee Aldrich, he opened fire inside a homosexual bar, and he, again, called himself a transgender. 2018, Snokia Mosley, and I guess this was a woman, thought she was a guy. She killed three co-workers at the Rita Aid warehouse in Maryland. Troy Coley, no, he's not. That was a friend of hers. But on and on and on it goes. What's going on here? Well, I can tell you from a spiritual perspective what's going on. Then I got to go. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the thief is a reference to the devil. The devil comes to steal. He's stealing these people's identity, their natural identity that God gave them. And then he's setting them, giving them hearts to kill and to destroy other people and themselves. Now that's really, from a spiritual perspective, in the nutshell, that is what's going on here. I said, once you reject God, you reject his righteousness, and then you're left with what? You're left with depravity, destruction, death, degeneracy, you name it. And that's what we're seeing here. And I'll tell you something, folks. If we don't get a handle on this stuff and start denouncing this stuff and saying, look, this is an illness, and people who are suffering from this need to get treatment, and we're not playing games with this. No man can become a woman. No woman can become a man. Maybe take up the constitutional amendment that I propose that says there are only two genders legally and constitutionally in the United States of America. Even if you go to some foreign country and so-called change your gender here, you are still what you were born to be. If you were born a male, you are still a male. If you were born a female, you are still a female. And if you want to live as something else, you can go somewhere else, but you can't do it here. Or you can live however you want, but you can't expect all the institutions and all the people of the country to bow to that. We're not bowing to it because it's a lie. And we're not bowing down to any lies. Well, folks, that's going to do it for today. God bless each and every one of you. And thank you again. You know what? Facebook and YouTube may not want to hear what I have to say, but thank God somebody does. and that includes all of you. And I do thank you so much for it. I do appreciate it. They're not going to shut me up. I'm not going to stop. But I hope they get a revelation and realize that the First Amendment is not for speech, to protect speech that you like. It's to protect the speech that you don't like as well. But again, there's all kinds of ways in which they need to get a revelation. That's just one of the many. God bless each and every one of you. Oh, don't forget the Standard Awards dinner, May the 12th, Tuesday, May the 12th at the Tyson's Corner Marriott. And that's in Tyson's, Virginia. I hope you will come. Dinner starts at 7. Go to our website, standamerica.us, to find out about tickets and sponsorships and more about the dinner, including our honorees. In the meantime, you all know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.